Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we lift your name on high, Jesus, and we ask that your kingdom come and your will be done. Thank you, Jesus. John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. In this moment of history, our Lord is naked and hanging on the cross, soon to die. When all of the disciples have fled but one, just like our Lord has said, that they would be scattered each to his own home, it is here, gathered at the foot of the cross, where we find four courageous and loyal women and one disciple, that is John, who penned this gospel. Here at the cross, Mary, the earthly mother of our Lord, a widow standing with a sorrowful heart as she is witnessing the suffering, shameful death of her firstborn, the promised one, the Son of God. This entire time, she has been witnessing the sinfulness of man at its climax in all human history as she and the others followed our Lord to where he now hangs. Here at the cross, while this wickedness is being displayed, surrounded by mockings and insults being hurled at our Lord, while the greatest hate is being displayed, love dominates. Here at the cross, and in this passage, in the midst of all the pain, the suffering, the agony that Christ must feel, we see continued grace and mercy, compassion and sympathy, and the glory of Christ. Here in this passage, he demonstrates, and the Holy Spirit records, his love for his own and the command for the church to love one another. Here, as Christ looks at his mother, whom he called woman, that is another discussion for another time, and places her in the care of the one disciple standing near. Not because she was his earthly mother and a widow. At this time, we presume Joseph to be dead. Jesus' brothers, her other sons, do not believe in Jesus and who he says he is. But Christ grants her this mercy because his love keeps all that he saves. His love not only secures the believer of eternal salvation after death, but it extends even while here on earth. It keeps us from stumbling, falling, Jude tells us. Christ's serving love comforts Mary, comforts the believer, and lets us know to not let our hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This agape love promises he will never leave nor forsake us. And he will not leave us as orphans. And he didn't. Did he, believers? He gave us the greatest gift ever in the Holy Spirit. So in this passage, this great act of mercy towards Mary, it lets her know that even through the trials and tribulations, even if the loss of her son, and as we heard from our own pastor's testimony, most of us can't even imagine what that would feel like. Even in that pain, she will and is cared for. Lastly, here at the cross, Jesus gives John a command, which John obeys without hesitation. And this charge is the same for us today as the church, collectively and individually. As recorded in John 13, verse 15, do just as I have done to you. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Why, Jesus? One, he tells us to do it. Two, We will be blessed. That's verse 16 in John 13. Number three, by this all people will know we are his disciples. Verse 35, this is religion that is undefiled and pure, as Jane tells us. Here at the cross, John's obedience demonstrates faith and works. Jesus left us with the Holy Spirit, but he also left us to be one with one another. As believers, we need to love each other. This love is the sacrificial love that is produced by the Holy Spirit. This love is as 1 Peter 4:8. Peter tells us that we should love one another earnestly. And in the Greek, that earnestly means extended love. It means stretching a muscle as far as it will go. This love is concerned not just with the physical, but the spiritual needs. I ask you all, I ask myself, are we praying for each other? Are we calling each other? We see somebody missing at church. Are we looking for the opportunity to serve each other? Or are we just ready to come in here Sundays and leave? The early church could not afford to forsake this commandment amidst the persecutions and trials that they faced. And I say, we must now more than ever. We can't be deceived. We cannot face this, because we may not be going through those types of persecutions, or at least here in America. Let's not get comfortable. We must remember this is spiritual warfare, and we're in more danger now than ever before. I digress. I end with this from the Apostle Paul of Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 tells us, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, and we are in Christ, you all, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also is in Christ Jesus. Bless you all. You all, we have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. Amen.